This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, 6 minutes past the hour. As I mentioned in the previous hour, and we've been talking about basically for the last hour, you can't turn on a TV news channel, especially cable TV news these days, without hearing some TV pundit or panelist saying, oh, Democrats need to move to the middle. Especially Republicans saying this, although there are a few Democrats, and a lot of the, quote, reporters are saying this, and God only knows, you know, some of these so-called panelists. But what do they mean, move to the middle? You know, are they trying to say, oh, it's just fine that 30 million Americans don't have health insurance, that 20 million Americans are dying every year because of that? Do they mean it's just fine that the big banks ripped us off to the tune of over $200 billion just last year? Do they mean that it's just fine that the fossil fuel and chemical companies continue to poison us? It's just fine that there's over 240 coal-fired power plants that now have been documented to have contaminated the groundwater of the communities around them, in some cases for dozens of miles around them, and in some cases even more than that, with cancer-causing pollutants? Is it just fine for drug companies to rip us off, charter schools to rip us off? It's just fine that the American dream is dead, along with unionism in the United States as a result of Reaganism? What the hell is the center that these Republicans are telling Democrats to move to, and some Democrats are telling Democrats to move to? I mean, this is the whole sales pitch that Bill Clinton gave us back in 1992 with the DLC and the New Dem Coalition and the New Dem Caucus in Congress and all this stuff. What the hell are they talking about? On the line with us is Brian Pruitt. He's a contributing editor to redstate.org. Is it .org or .com? I've got them both on the one sheet here, Brian. I'm sorry.
.com.
Thank you very much. Redstate.com. And people can tweet you at Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, Pruitt, P-R-U-I-T-T, or at Red State. And Brian, as a conservative, as a Republican, and I've known you for years, and I think of you as a principled conservative and Republican. I have a lot of respect for you.
Thank you, sir.
I got two questions, and I'll just lay them both out, and you can take them in any order you want, and we can have a conversation about this, which may or may not be a debate. I don't know. Number one, when you hear TV pundits and Democrats, and for that matter, Republicans on TV saying, well, Democrats need to move to the center. You know, you can't go too far left. That's going to just kill things. What are they talking about, number one? Number two, why am I not hearing those same people telling Republicans, you guys need to move to the center? I mean, you know, all the things that, you know, you've got the EPA now, you know, hundreds of deregulations so far that you know, according to several studies, are going to cause thousands more cancers. You've got, you know, the selling off of public lands. You've got privatization of everything. You've got, you know, you had George Bush in 2005 literally traveling the country over 30 cities giving speeches saying that it's now, right now, 2005, time to privatize Social Security and hand it all over to the big banks in New York. Why didn't anybody say, well, gee, maybe he should move to the center? What am I missing here, Brian?
Well, I think I'll answer the second question first, and that is because Republicans won. That's the answer, the White House, and they have the Senate. So that's the quick and easy one. The answer to the first question is that is code. Move to the middle is code for win, you know, have the ability to win Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, and maybe Ohio.
But that's Bernie Sanders totally kicked Hillary Clinton's butt in those states. I mean, he wiped her out in Michigan.
Those are primaries. You have to actually get... If you want to win, if Democrats want to win the presidency, they have to get back those Barack Obama voters that voted for Trump. That's the middle of the road folks that don't like things like Green New Deal, that don't like that don't cotton to ideas like free college tuition. That is code for be able to win the Midwest. Democrats have a lock on California, Oregon, Washington State, Massachusetts, all the way down to maybe New Jersey, but they don't have Middle America, the Mid-Atlantic, the Southern states, and that's what that is code for.
I grew up in Michigan. I lived in the Midwest until I was 27 years old. I you know, most of my family, virtually all of my family, still lives there, and I'm in close contact with them. And I think you're reading this wrong, Brian. I don't think that Barack Obama campaigned as a centrist, and neither did Bill Clinton. I wrote a book about this. It's called Threshold, The Crisis of Western Civilization. Actually, it's just one chapter, in which I reprinted Bill Clinton's stump speech. It was called the New Covenant Speech. And his New Covenant Speech called for a national health care system, called for a national smart grid. I mean, Bill Clinton campaigned as a progressive and won. And then, yes, as we all famously know now, a couple of weeks before he was sworn into office, Alan Greenspan and Jamie Dimon, and there was one other guy, I'm forgetting who it was, sat him down and said, son, you're going to kill yourself and you're going to kill your party if you govern based on what you just campaigned on. And Bill Clinton turned into a DLC Democrat, turned into the middle. And Barack Obama, Clinton campaigned as a progressive and won in all that middle America that you're talking about. Barack Obama campaigned as a progressive, hope and change. The debate was, yes, we're going to have national health care. How do we do it? Exactly how do we do it? That was the debate between him and Hillary. Not should we do it? How do you do it? And change is radical. That was the core message of Barack Obama. The problem is he only had 74 days where he had a veto-proof Senate. And during those 74 days, he got a lot of progressive stuff done. I think that you're mischaracterizing middle America. I think that Bernie's victories, primary victories in these places that have been absolutely devastated by the Reagan trade policies, the so-called free trade, I think that those would translate into general election victories. I really, truly do.
Let me tell you the other reason that Democrats are worried about voting progressive, and that is a lot of Democrats, in their desire to win back the Senate, are depending on more moderate Republicans getting primary challenges from the right. We're talking about Lindsey Graham. We're talking about Ben Sasse. We're talking about Tom Tillis. We're talking about the majority leader himself. We're talking about Cory Gardner out in Colorado. Democrats are depending on an inter-party fight on the right to be able to weaken those candidates and potentially take over the Senate. If you have if Democrats continue to vote ultra progressive, even if they're show votes in the House that have no chance of passing the Senate, what it does is it gives heft to these vulnerable Republicans and probably prevents them from getting a primary challenge, thus letting them shore up their seats. And then you end up with the Senate remaining in Republican hands.
No, I get all that.
All the Democrats' grand plans depend on the Senate getting back in Democratic hands.
Yeah, well, and let's hope it happens, from my point of view. But again, I think your predicating assumption is that the independent voters, the average voters, and many Democratic voters are, quote, centrist when it comes to policies. Now, this is a two-year-old study. It's from the, but it was conducted by GBA Strategies. It was paid for by the Progressive Change Institute. So they defined the questions, but these are not Democratic or Republican voters. These are all voters, right? People who are actually voters, and 79%. Think that we should have some sort of a national health care program. Now, again, this is 2 years ago. I think the rates have actually gone up. 78% think that college should be free or close to free. 77% think we should have universal free pre-K. 75% want a trade policy that's going to protect our jobs, which, by the way, is what Trump campaigned on. There were several issues that Trump campaigned on. Number one, he was going to give us a national health care system that was better than Obamacare and cheaper and covered everybody, which is a progressive position. Number two, he said he was going to go back to the kind of trade policies we had before Reaganism, which is a progressive position. Sherrod Brown keeps winning elections and totally kicking ass in Ohio, even when Republicans win the governorship and things there, on that position. 73% said ending gerrymandering. Medicare for all, 71%. This is, kind of socialized medicine, 71%. End super PACs, 71%. Expand Social Security benefits, 70%. Free
all
public college.
Things, all of those
these are all voters.
Monetary, all of those policies. You're right. Of course, everybody likes free stuff. Everybody likes free stuff. Right until
I'm not talking about free stuff, Brian.
Tax rate.
I'm talking about fair stuff. I'm talking about the stuff that every other, literally everything that I just listed is right now the way it is. in Denmark and Sweden and Norway and Germany and France and Spain and Italy.
Thank God we're not them.
In Canada, for God's sake. Every one of those things I just listed is the way it is in Canada. Why would you say thank God we're not them?
Thank God we're not them. We are a unique country. We always
Well, we're stupid.
Been. We don't want to be. We don't want to be like
We
want
to be owned by the oligarchs and the billionaires?
Oh, come on now. You know I don't believe that. And what
then what is it that's unique about Americans that even though 80% of Americans want these things, as Tim Wu pointed out in the New York Times yesterday, he says 75% of Americans favor higher taxes to the ultra wealthy, paid maternity leave 67%.
Which can't pay for any of those things. Ultra high taxes on the wealthy cannot pay for any of those things that you want. It requires higher taxes on low and middle income Americans.
You know, I would be glad to pay. I'm paying about $400 a month right now for health insurance. I would be glad to pay that in taxes instead of paying it to a for-profit insurance company. That's just for my Medicare copay thing.
That's not what all Americans want, and that's great.
I think it is.
If progressives want to pay extra to do something that is not imposed on the American people, so be it. But you're talking about policies that are going to be imposed on the American people by their government. That's very different.
Well, right now I'm having policies imposed on me that allow the Koch brothers to poison the air more aggressively. That caused me to have to give more money to United Healthcare. They're not my provider, but other people. For insurance policies, so that Stephen J. Hemsley can take home another $1 billion.
All those policy prescriptions are popular right until people find out how much they cost. That's the part of that. All those.
All of these things are going
to
save us money, Brian. Free college produces a return on investment of 7 to 1, a 700% return on investment.
For really rich white kids.
No, for everybody.
Free college tuition.
My dad was not really rich. He was the son of immigrants. He went to college. Louise's dad was the first person in her family to go to college. And he ended up the assistant AG of Michigan because of the GI Bill.
The GI Bill is different. You're talking about free college tuition with zero requirements. It's a massive, massive giveaway to the rich.
Okay, we're wandering off topic, but anyhow, Brian, and we're also out of time. Brian Pruitt, contributor at redstate.com, and you can tweet him at Brian Pruitt, B-R-Y-A-N Pruitt. Thanks, Brian.
Tom, thank you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
It is nice talking with a conservative who actually is a thoughtful person and wants to have a serious conversation about the issues. I really appreciate that. And welcome back. Jared in Downington, Pennsylvania. Hey, Jared, what's on your mind?
Hello, Tom. It's time for a little history lesson about socialism. So the word socialist, it had a meaning prior to Marx, but eventually when Karl Marx came into the scene, the word effectively meant a transitional phase between capitalism and worldwide communism, the withering away of the state and the gradual adoption of communism. However, there was a split in the socialist movement. It was around the early 20th century, and there was two groups of socialists. There was one faction, the Social Democrats, who basically wanted to have a sort of a more moderate position and be elected in the government. So
this would be like Eugene Debs you're talking about?
Yeah, your German Social Democrat Party is a good example of this. They had Marxism in their platform until the 1950s, I believe, and Karl Marx was a part of the organizing of that, and because he believed that the revolution would come originally in Germany, and there was a revolution in Germany. However, this is the key point, the Social Democratic Party went into a right-wing deviation from the revolutionary socialist part of the socialist movement, which was people like Lenin.
Right, but that's in Europe, right? You're talking Germany and Europe. I mean, let's stick to America here.
Well, I mean,
or are you saying that the word has been redefined internationally?
I mean, like, what do you mean? I mean, the word hasn't been redefined. That's the point I'm getting at. But the word social democrat did get redefined. I mean, that is effectively what Bernie Sanders is. He is a social democrat. He believes in what can be, what the new definition of what it is welfare capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And my problem is that with welfare capitalism, it doesn't change the power system of the capitalist state. So why is it that we have billionaires to begin with?
Right.
Why is it that we haven't nationalized all of the industries like oil or agro-farming? If you want to get rid of climate change, you can't have private industry anymore. What about imperialism?
You just don't have toxic private industry. I mean, you're talking about, I call this regulated capitalism, and I'm a big advocate of it.
Well, we've tried regulated capitalism, Tom. Eventually, the capitalists will just
kind of
let it go for a while, and then they'll just unravel it. I mean, we're seeing that in Europe. We're seeing that in America.
So what's your alternative, Jared? Forgive me for moving you along, but we've got 26 seconds to the break.
Full worldwide communism. I think that capitalism is done. I think it's
Wait a minute. You want a worldwide version of what? Modern China?
No.
20th century Russia or Soviet Union?
No.
What?
No, I want...
Give me an example. One country that has done it successfully.
Well, I mean, the USSR prior to the 1980s was...
Stalin was running a reign of terror, Jared.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that everything he did was bad, let's just say.
Okay, well, I get it, but okay. Jared, thank you for the call. Interesting. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Well, it's an interesting conversation we're having here. Dan in Fremont, Indiana. Hey, Dan, what's on your mind?
Hello.
Hey.
This is right in my wheelhouse today. I'm messaging with my centrist Democratic friends about the very topic for days and days. More than a few are Michigan State grads, I might add.
Have any of them articulated in a clear and understandable fashion what, quote, centrism means on the Democratic side?
No. they buy into the DLC line still. It's just, I don't get it. How can Bernie get through to these guys? I mean, it's...
Well, one of the problems is the media is...
Don't vote for Bernie. Excuse me.
No, I was going to say that one of the problems is that the media is spoon-feeding this meme. I mean, they are shoveling this stuff out shoveling it like back in the day when I used to shovel out horse stalls. I mean, you know, they're just shoveling at us.
They're all MSNBC viewers. I mean, and you know what we're getting from them.
Yeah, well, I
keep track of it.
I see it on CNN as well,
Sure.
And I'm guessing it's all over the media. It's certainly on the Sunday shows. You know, this is the thing. Oh, you know, how badly damaged will the Democratic Party be if they put, you know, a George McGovern in there? You know, George McGovern lost every state but one, right? I mean, this has become conventional wisdom for the chattering class. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that this is 1972.
It isn't. No, it's a whole new deal. And it's, you know, they're worried, you know, they don't want Trump for four more years. Who does? But what about the direction of the party? Who's going to take us forward? And I think the vehicle's a Democratic Party.
It has to be. We can't go third party. That's suicide. It has to be solid, coherent, and well supported.
And it's getting better supported. You know, the demographics are changing, but it's really going to be great. And they'll all come around. They'll all vote for.
But then, what do we do about? You know, I got this. I don't have it here in front of me, but I got this email from Donald Trump saying that the Democrats are campaigning on a platform of, quote, fully open borders. Here it is, right here. 90% taxes, wide open borders, full-term abortion, government-run health care, full-blown socialism. I mean, this went out to like 30, 40 million people, this email this morning.
Enables that crap.
Yeah. Well, I think our media is enabling that crap, frankly.
Oh, well, yeah. The whole, yeah.
There you go.
Well.
Dan, thanks a lot for the call. We'll be back. It's 27 minutes past the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Defending America from the weapons of mass deception. Tom Hartman here with you. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Secretary Kristen Nielsen is testifying before the Homeland Security Committee. This should be being televised right now, in my humble opinion. One of the questions to her, the chair, Benny Thompson, asked if migrant children were still being held in cages. And she said, sir, they're not in cages. We're not going to go through the semantics, Thompson said. I saw the cyclone fences that were made as cages, and you did too. All you have to do is admit it. If it's a bad policy, then change it. But don't mislead this committee. Do not mislead this committee. And then Nielsen claimed, quote, there was no parent who has been deported, to my knowledge, without multiple opportunities to take their children with them. According to the parents, that's a flat-out lie. Then they said, how many kids have died in custody? And she says, so far this fiscal year, we've had three. And Nanette Berrigan, representative, says, so far? Madam Secretary, are you expecting more children to die? This is insane. Just insane. Dawn in Norcross, Georgia. Hey, Dawn, what's on your mind? Dawn, you're on
the
air.
Hey, Tom. Yes. Hey. Hello. First of all, I'd just like to say I thought your guest that, you know, from the redstate.net or whatever
.com, yeah.
was rather ingenious. I did not think he had anything of value to really say. But I'd like to say something. You asked earlier why we can't have national health care. Free tuition, why we can't have better schools and not support charter schools or really any progressive ideas. And I'd say that's because our system is rigged, and you say that every single day. The rich have all the power. The people who represent us, even most of the Democrats, are part of the oligarchy. That's why they're so afraid of the new freshman class of U.S. representatives.
Yeah.
But until we get rid of our oligarchy and move back to our democratic republic, we'll never get any progressive ideas through. The likes of Chuck Schumer, who is nothing more than a Republican like, they don't believe in progressive ideas. They're nothing more than Clintonites, and we have paid the price.
Oh, I think Chuck Schumer would love to see a lot of these things passed. I'm just concerned that he and a lot of his colleagues who would call themselves centrists, although Schumer is now calling himself a progressive, you know, don't want the money to stop flowing from some of these giant industries and corporations.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
I mean, that's his job, is to raise money.
He is only calling himself a progressive because he thinks that is going to keep him where he needs to be. He saw what happened to Joe Crowley. He sees what's going on in New York. That is the one and only reason. He has never stood behind anything progressive.
But
we the people will continue to pay the price. But in 2 to 3 years, when our economy crashes and 30 to 50% of the people in this country are homeless, nothing will change, Tom. You and I both know it. I'm in my 60s. I've lived through every one of them. I've watched everything. I've listened to MSNBC. I listened to you guys. And until, finally, my last statement, until we fix the Fourth Estate, the free media, we will continue to go down the drain. This is the United States of America that we have today.
Yeah. Dawn, I cannot argue with that. In fact, you're making points that I've made in the past. And I agree with you about the oligarchy. We have, rule by and for the rich, as Gillens and Page pointed out in that study from Columbia University, as Thomas Piketty has pointed out, as was pointed out by Richard Wilkerson and Kate Pickett. Kate Pickett was here on this program some time ago.
Right.
You know, with this new book, The Something Level, The Inner Level. The sequel to The Spirit Level. you're absolutely right. And to take down the oligarchy, you start with raising taxes on them, and then
I'm in total agreement.
Right, and then we need to pass a constitutional amendment that says that the Supreme Court was wrong in 76, when they kicked the doors open and said that if billionaires or corporations, it was 76 for billionaires, 78 for corporations, want to own politicians and have wholly owned subsidiaries that are politicians, writing proposing legislation that's been written by the billionaires themselves, which is happening now more than on the Republican side almost all the time. Very little of this legislation is actually written by legislators anymore. It's written by lobbyists. Because the Supreme Court literally made this law. It was, they took down a law that was passed on a bipartisan basis in the early 1970s, after the Nixon scandals, that put campaign limits on and restricted corporate behavior and all this kind of stuff. And Citizens United even knocked out the 1904, 1907 Tillman Act, which made it a federal felony for a corporation to give money to a politician. Until we take those things back, we are going to continue to have these stupid debates about, oh, we need to move to the center, and oh, you're too weird and liberal and far out if you think that we can be like Canada, et cetera, et cetera. Don, spot on. Thank you very much for the call. Eric in Weston, West Virginia. Hey, Eric, what's up? Thanks for watching us on YouTube, Eric. What's on your mind?
Yeah, like you, I'm 65, and I remember what this country used to be. And it seems to me, slowly but inexorably, the powers that be, the oligarchy, had just taken over step by step. I won't go so far to call it American fascism, but that's basically what I seem to see what American capitalism has become. It's nothing wrong with making a profit, but they are literally bleeding the middle class and the poor to death.
Yeah.
And it's just getting harder and harder to get along.
Yeah. I've seen studies suggesting that since Reagan dropped the top tax rate to today, more or less, I've seen two or three different studies that everybody's trying to figure this out, how much money has been transferred out of the pockets of the middle class and working people and into the pockets of the top 0.01%, the top 0.1%. And it looks, I've seen numbers as low as $12 trillion and as high as $30 trillion. And it's somewhere in there, and that's what's going on.
You know, Eisenhower, he was a Republican. He wasn't no socialist Democrat. And I believe the top-tier tax rate when Eisenhower was president was 90%.
91%. You're absolutely right. Throughout his entire presidency. And he never complained about it. In fact, he thought it was a good thing. He wrote to his brother Edgar when his brother Edgar was talking about you're being like a socialist and said, no, not going to happen. And Eisenhower campaigned for election in 52 for his reelection campaign was really the big one of 56, where he pointed to what he had done in the previous 4 years. He'd added more than 2 million people to the union rolls. He'd expanded Social Security benefits. He had put more than 1 million people on Social Security and made it eligible, made tens of millions of people once they retired eligible for Social Security who previously weren't. He expanded Social Security. I mean, they of course the hard right, the John Birch Society, referred to Dwight Eisenhower as a socialist or a communist. They more often called him a communist, which was more of a swear word back in that day. You're absolutely right, Eric. You're absolutely right. And thanks for watching us there in West Virginia, Paul in Honolulu, listening on KOYA. Hey, Paul, what's up?
Hi, are you talking to me?
I am. You're calling from Hawaii?
No, I'm not. I'm calling from Redding, California.
Oh, But well, the next time you call in, tell whoever answers the phone to fix the database.
Okay.
What's up?
I just the centrist Democrat thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Democratic Party will never allow Bernie Sanders to have the nomination, and the reason is, it's all about the money. Just like this young Muslim
Representative
congressperson,
Omar, yeah.
It's all about the money. She is not defaming Israel. It's all about the money. And just as Bernie said, the Democrats would go down on the Titanic as long as they had a first-class ticket.
I've never heard Bernie say that.
Well, that I've heard him say it.
Okay. I get it, and I get what you're saying, and this, you know, and Bill Clinton back in 92, in what I think was a good faith effort to rescue the Democratic Party from you know, another, what was his name in 72? In any case, another, you know, electoral wipeout, right? George McGovern, you know, in order to try to avoid that kind of a situation, said, okay, you know, we're going to have to embrace corporate money. And this was the DLC, which is now the New Dems. And I get that. I understand that. And back then, you didn't have, you know, online internet fundraising and a lot of the things that you have now. And there actually were, you know, laws in place that regulated cash to some small extent anyway. I mean, this was still post Buckley and First National Bank. But I really and truly believe the times have changed. And the good news, Paul, is that the I believe the second largest caucus in Congress is the Progressive Caucus, and that they've got nearly 100 members out of the a little over 200 members, Democratic members of the U.S. House of Representatives. And the Democratic Party as a whole is moving in our direction. And I find that very hopeful. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The Democratic Party will not allow a progressive, somebody who will not allow them to eat at the trough of all this.
I don't think they can put their thumb on the scale anymore. You know, everybody was saying that the Republican Party would never allow a crazy man like Donald Trump to become their nominee, and look at what happened. I you know, Paul, respectfully, I hope you're wrong. I can't say I think you're wrong, but I hope you're wrong. Paul, thanks for the call. And thanks for listening to us in California there. It's 45 minutes past the hour. We're going to check in with Talk Media News in just a few minutes.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Back in 4 minutes with Ellen Ratner with Talk Media News. Stick around. And welcome back. Gary in Gravette, Arkansas. Hey, Gary, thanks for watching us on Free Speech TV. What's on your mind?
Hello, Tom. I'm talking about the Democratic Party, people trying to influence them to move towards the center. I think that would be a huge mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I think the American public is demanding a radical change. And without the, and I think they would rather move towards the left and the right, but with what happened at the last election and Clinton being in the middle, they moved to the most radical point they could, even though I think that's partly because they know something is wrong, but they don't know specifically what is wrong with our government.
See, I think if Hillary Clinton had Bernie or somebody like him as her VP instead of Tim Kaine, if she'd gotten a progressive as VP instead of a so-called centrist, that instead of winning by 3 million votes, she would have won by 5 or 10.
Yeah. Well, I felt like because Bernie did not win the nomination, that the DNC felt that, by being a part of that, they would prefer a Republican win than Bernie Sanders. And I just think that they feel that they
have talked on this program to Tom Perez, who's the chair of the DNC right now, more times than I can remember, frankly. And he has never expressed a sentiment like that. I've had private conversations, a number of them, with Keith Ellison back when he was running the DNC or co-chair of the DNC. Keith is just as progressive as Bernie. I think the Democratic Party is opening up and is open to this stuff. I really do. And Keith, of course, has had those conversations.
We certainly saw that in the last election, and nothing's given me more hope than some human beings finally being elected to Congress.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
I think that this election should point out that America is a subspecies of humanity, and that this election is more about the survival of humanity than anything else.
Well, we haven't even started talking about that, Gary. I mean, you know, climate change. The Green New Deal is all about stopping climate change, which is an existential threat, not just to humanity in the long term, but to democracy and frankly, to civilization over the short term. And you know, that has to be at the center of the Democratic Party's position. And there are some people who are saying, that's too radical. Some Democrats who are saying that's too radical for Democrats.
Yeah, I know this. It's just, I think everything that gets thrown at the Democratic Party as far as being socialist or being supposedly naive, I think we should embrace it. We should embrace any of those positive qualities for long-term survival and the quantity and quality should be embraced. I mean,
yes.
We're social mammals. And as social mammals, really the top of the evolutionary change, we represent a huge difference between the old order of the individual survival of the fittest and the new order of survival, which is survival of the species through cooperative behavior.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's a new order for the ages. Gary, thank you for the call, and thanks for watching us there in Arkansas. We'll be back with Ellen Ratner and Talk Media News in just a moment. Welcome back to your media support group for We the People of the United States of America, and really the world, the Tom Hartman Program. Let's check in with Talk Media News and find out what's going on in the world. This report is brought to you by goatsfortheoldgoat.com and Ellen Ratner's new book, Loving What You Do. On the line with us is Ellen Ratner herself. Ellen, welcome, and what's up in the news today?
Well, oh my gosh, it never is a dull moment in Washington, D.C. or New York. First of all, the junior senator from Kentucky, Senator Rand Paul, basically said, well, we ought to leave Afghanistan, declare victory, and then pay each vet who's been there $2,500. That's a lot of money to pay out for vets and to declare victory. But, of course, who knows? I mean, he's not going to get anywhere with it because the president will never go with it. But I think it's an interesting proposition.
Yeah. I'm inclined to agree with him.
Also, in terms of North Korea, it looks like after the failed Vietnam talks, it looks like they are restoring their past test site that they had for testing their nuclear arms.
Right.
Now, of course, South Korea is terrified, and is Japan, and the United States. Of course, the United States believes that they can get rid of any missiles that are fired at the United States. So,
but didn't Donald Trump permanently end our bilateral military exercises with South Korea?
Well, he did, except for the fact that now North Korea is restoring their past test sites. So who knows what that means?
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, now, transgender troops. The Palm Center, which is a pro-LGBT group, basically said that these three former secretaries at the Pentagon under Obama have said it's a wrong-headed ban to ban transgender people, and that they should, if they can meet the standards, who cares?
Right.
It's craziness, right?
Yeah. No, I agree. This is just Trump using a minority group that he can beat a minority group that for the majority of Americans it's okay to beat them up as a campaign thing, which is tragic. It's terrible.
It is tragic. Okay. The International Rescue Committee, better known as the IRC, just reported on women and girls. They said one-fourth of girls in Niger are married before they're 18, that there is a gender gap in Yemen, but they didn't explain what that meant. They said that there are 77% of refugees in Bangladesh who live in settlements are abused and feel unsafe.
Wow, that's terrible there. Did you see the story about how in Idaho, the age of marriage and consent and all that is, I think, 17, maybe 18. But if you have the permission of your parents and a judge, you can get married at any age. And in fact, girls as young as 13 have succeeded in getting a judge to sign off and their parents to sign off and are getting married. And a Democratic congresswoman or state legislator put together legislation to say, and she said, we're just trying to bring our statutory rape laws in line with our marriage laws to say that the state shall not issue a marriage license for anyone younger than 16, and the Republicans voted it down.
You're kidding.
No.
I actually didn't see that. Thank you for telling me.
I'll send you the link.
That's unbelievable.
When we get off here, I'll send you the link. And Idaho is, by the way, one of five states where that's the case.
Oh, my gosh.
Including Texas
five
and Kentucky.
States? I didn't know that. Wow. Yeah. I'm surprised the IRC didn't come up with something about the United States.
Yeah. Well, I think they're maybe politically sensitive, but who knows?
Yeah. Bought and paid for, as we say at the UN.
Yeah.
Okay. Turkey, by the way, has now wanting to buy F-35s from the United States. However, the supreme commander in NATO, the U.S. commander, is saying, hey, listen, if they buy the Russians' missile defense deal, we should not be selling them F-35 jets. So that's very, very interesting.
Is that because of a concern that they would share, they would have Russian technicians in Turkey for their missile defense system, and those technicians would have access to our F-35s? And thus
well,
our technology?
It's unclear, or whether it's just because they would buy a missile defense system from Russia. It's unclear why, but they have absolutely come out against it.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay, now, this is very interesting. Congressman Cummings, who's now Chairman Cummings of the House Oversight Committee, said that he is going to look into the security clearances that were given to Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump. They're a married couple, of course. And over the objections of security personnel at the White House.
Good.
And he wants his committee to take a look at that.
Good. I'd like to know what the heck is going on here. And this larger question that was raised in today's Washington Post, did Jared Kushner share secret U.S. intelligence that he shouldn't have even had access to about Saudi dissidents with Mohammed bin Salman because MBS imprisoned, tortured, and murdered a whole bunch of these people right after one of his meetings.
Including women who he supported with driving.
That's correct. And this was right after a meeting he had with Jared Kushner. And by the way, on that list may well have been Jamal Khashoggi.
Right, of course. I wouldn't doubt
it. So was Kushner responsible for Khashoggi being murdered? I want to know.
Well, you know, Blanketa Cullum said to me that we met Khashoggi. I don't remember it, but we did. I remember the meeting, the dinner meeting that we had when we were in Saudi Arabia, but she said Khashoggi was there.
Wow. Wow.
Well, okay. So J.P. Morgan now said today that they will not finance private prisons. That is very good news.
Baruch Hashem. Thank God. It's a start. It's a very small start,
but it's a start. Absolutely. Okay. Now, also, the biggest trade gap is now 12% from 2017. That is a monthly trade cap, and it is increasing every month now.
Right. Under Donald Trump, who said that he was going to be great on trade, we have the worst trade deficits in the history of the United States with both China and Europe.
Right. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
I was predicting.
you predicted correctly, Tom.
Yeah.
Now, the National Security Advisor, John Bolton, he talked about Venezuela today, and he said that if sanctions would be put, if any group facilitates illegal transactions. Now, they didn't describe what an illegal transaction would be, but I think that that's very interesting. They clearly want to bring down the head of Venezuela.
Yeah, we are doing this with both Venezuela and Iran. We're destroying the economies of both these countries intentionally to try to provoke basically right-wing takeovers within the countries. And, we did this back in the 50s in Central America. It didn't work out well. Ellen Ratner, Ellen Ratner would talk Great Media News. Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Great talking with you. We'll be back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.